Going through the Bible, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 this week. A short little chapter, just 13 verses. So plenty of opportunity to study it carefully this afternoon. Join with us at 7 o'clock tonight as we'll be looking at the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians. This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to the 9th verse of chapter 8. Where Paul declares, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." Grace is God's undeserved, unmerited goodness to us. The Bible tells us that by grace we've been saved through faith, that not of ourselves, that it is a gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. There is nothing that I could ever do to deserve salvation. I deserve the judgment of God because of my sin. And all of the good works that I might possibly endeavor could never bring me into a place where God ought to or should save me, that I deserve salvation. There is nothing that I could ever do to merit salvation. There are no good works that man can accomplish whereby God owes it to save me. I am saved by the grace of God. It is his undeserved and unmerited goodness to me. By grace, God has redeemed me from the power of Satan, from the slavery and the bondage in which I once lived. Through grace, Jesus Christ paid the price to redeem me and to set me free. When Paul was writing to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 7, he said that through Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins through the richness of his grace. The forgiveness of sins comes to us by the richness of God's grace. Paul tells us that the grace of God is so vast, so marvelous, that it will take all eternity for him to reveal it to us. Throughout the ages to come, he shall be revealing unto us the exceeding richness of his love and grace towards us through Christ Jesus. Paul said that they knew the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The question is, do you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Have you experienced firsthand the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Now, Paul tells us that this grace was manifested through Jesus. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. It's impossible for us to fathom the riches of the kingdom of God. God, the eternal creator, awesome in glory, in power, worshiped by the myriad of angels, The children of Israel had sort of failed in keeping the sacrifices that God had required in the law. And so God spoke to them in Psalm 50. He said, "Hear my people, O my people, and I'm going to speak. O Israel, I'm going to testify against you because I am God, even your God. I'm not going to reprove you for the lack of sacrifices or burnt offerings, which were to be offered continually before me. For I will not take a bullock out of your house, nor goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof." God's saying, look, if I needed help, I wouldn't come to you. I have it all. It all belongs to me. It's mine. Jesus, the eternal God, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, but the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, who existed before all things, there in the glory of heaven with the Father, worshiped by the angels, he left that place of glory and all of the riches that were related to it in order to redeem us from our sins. It was for your sake that he became poor. He was born in poverty, born in another man's stable. When his parents came to offer him or offer the sacrifices that were required in the law for a firstborn son, the offering of cleansing, they brought, we are told, two turtle doves, which indicates that they were poor. In the Old Testament, under the law, when this law was given for the cleansing of the after the birth of the firstborn child, it was said that if a person could not afford to bring a sheep or a lamb, they could bring two turtle doves. And so the fact that they offered the two turtle doves indicated their poverty. He did not have money to pay the taxes. He had to send Peter to catch a fish in order to get a coin to pay the taxes. One day a young man said, "I will follow you wherever you go." And he said, "The birds of the air have their nest. The foxes have their holes. But I don't have any place to lay my head." He made his grand entry into Jerusalem on another man's donkey. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. The Bible says he was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. He came to be poorly treated. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. And he was poorly treated by man. In Isaiah 50, verse 6, the prophecy said, "I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I hid not my face from shame and from spitting." He knew that this was going to happen to him. It was prophesied in advance. He knew, according to the prophecies in advance, as he declared it in advance, that man's hatred against God would be vented upon him, and that he would be despised and rejected by men. He would be known as a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. He was scorned. He was mocked. He was derided. He was jeered. This holy Son of God. The question is, why would he come and receive all of this abuse from sinful man? Paul, writing to the Philippians chapter 2, said that though he was in the form of God and did not think that it was something to be grasped, to be considered equal with God, yet he humbled himself, made himself of no reputation, took upon the form of a servant, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was rich, and yet for your sakes he became poor. In the prayer of Jesus that we read this morning, Jesus said, "Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world ever was." They're in the riches of the kingdom of God. The glory that was his. And yet for your sake, he became poor. He left the riches of glory in order to be abused by mankind that was rebelling against God. He knew his destiny before he ever left heaven. He knew all of the shame and the abuse that man would heap upon him. It was already a part of God's plan. God had spoken of it in advance. In talking about the crucifixion, Peter said to the Jews, "You, according to the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, with your wicked hands have crucified and slain." God knew the sinful nature of man. God knew that man hated him because of the rules that God had established. And man, in nature, rebels against authority. It's a part of our nature. And God knew that. And God knew that when he came to walk upon the earth, that man would rebel and would vent their hatred upon him and would seek to destroy him. And yet he came. Why? Because God knew that there were people who were tired of rebellion. They longed for a better life. They wanted to be good. They desired to be pure. But they were in the bondage of iniquity. They were bound by Satan's power. And he knew that if he could release them from Satan's power, they would fulfill the purposes of God in creating man. That they would live in fellowship with God and would love God and worship God. And because he knew such men existed, in order that he might show his grace to them, though he was rich, for their sakes, he became poor. I could understand his coming to reign over the earth as a sovereign monarch. I could understand the coming to force people to live the right kind of life, to establish a kingdom of righteousness and holiness, and to destroy all of those who would refuse to be a part of that kingdom. I could understand that, reigning in power and in righteousness over the earth. The great difficulty comes in realizing that he would leave his throne in glory to come down to this earth and hang upon a cross in order to show his love for me and to set me free from sin which was destroying me. For you know the grace of God. That's grace. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Because he loved you, he was not willing to see you perish, but wanted you to know the joy of living in fellowship with him. And so Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, though he despised the shame. He didn't have to do it, but he did. When Peter, there in the garden, drew his sword and began to swing away at the arresting officers who had come to take Jesus, Jesus said, "Peter, put away your sword. Don't you realize that if I desired at this moment, I could call for 10 legions of angels to deliver me? Don't have to do this, Peter. I could be freed. I don't need your help. But the cup that the Father has given me to drink, shall I not drink it?" That he might show the grace of God and the love of God, he went to the cross and he died in our place. He made a deliberate, willful choice to show the grace of God in redeeming you from hell. There is a verse in the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians that said, "He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him." God placed upon his Son all of our sin. God made him to be sin for us. The pure, righteous Son of God, who could say, "Which one of you can convince me of sin or show me a sin?" But he became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. That's grace. And what was his ultimate purpose in becoming poor? That you, through his poverty, might be rich. I think of the wonderful riches that have come to me through my relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I don't have to worry about what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear. My Father will take care of all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My Father sees that the birds are fed. He'll surely see that I am fed. I'm his son. He sees that the fields are clothed with beauty, the grass and the flowers. Surely he'll take care of my need of clothing because he's my Father. Jesus spoke of the false riches of the world. He referred to them as the deceitfulness of riches. I heard this week that through the rise in the stock market, Bill Gates' wealth has now gone from $39 billion to $41 billion because of the stock market increase. $3 billion in a week. But that's not true riches. Jesus said, "What would it profit a man if he would gain the whole world but lose his own soul?" I'm far richer than Bill Gates ever thought of being. If he doesn't know Jesus as his Savior, he's a poor man. I would not trade places with him for 1 second, because in that second, I might die. I read how the body of a prospector was found in the Death Valley, the skeleton. He was trying to make his way out. He had been prospecting up in the Panamint Range there. Evidently, he was overcome by the heat, and the body experienced dehydration, and he died. Months later, his body was discovered by some people out there. He had a bag that was filled with ore. And evidently, as he was dying, he realized he wasn't going to make it. And so he scribbled out a note that was found next to his skeleton. The note read, "I died rich." They examined the contents of the bag and discovered it was iron pyrite, or fool's gold. He only thought he died rich. True riches are found in a relationship with God. Those are the eternal riches. There are many people declaring, "I died rich," but they possess only fool's gold. Paul said to Timothy, "Tell those who are rich in this world not to trust in the uncertainty of riches, but to trust in God." Writing to the church of Ephesus, Paul spoke of the exceeding riches of his grace. He spoke of the unsearchable riches of Christ Jesus. He spoke of the riches of his glory. Though he was rich for our sakes, he became poor, that we, through his poverty, might know true riches, the riches of being a child of the King. We read concerning Moses that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt, because he had the proper perspective for life. He realized that this life is only but a moment. Eternity, forever. When we were young in high school, we used to sing a chorus. "He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. He owns the rivers and the rocks and rills, the sun and the stars that shine. Wonderful riches, more than tongue can tell. He is my Savior, so they are mine as well. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know that he will care for me. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet he became poor deliberately in order that you, through his poverty, might be rich in the true riches of God's eternal kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for such love. How can we express, Lord, our gratitude, our appreciation for the riches that are ours today in and through Christ Jesus? The eternal riches, Lord, we're so grateful, and we thank you. Lord, I pray for those today who are in the poverty of sin. Though outwardly they may possess a lot of the world's goods, yet, Lord, they are not rich towards thee, but are poor. They have nothing of eternal value. Lord, help them to discover the exceeding greatness of the riches, the unsearchable riches that are available to the children of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? Like to be rich? True riches, they're available. God is offering to you the riches of his grace. God is offering to you the freedom from sin. God is offering for you to become, if you so desire, a child of God. But as many as believed in Jesus Christ, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believed upon his name. You see, the world is filled with two types of people. Those who are rebelling against God and would like to destroy God if possible. And there are many who are seeking to destroy God. And they're seeking to destroy the works of God. Many people opposed to the work of God. And they're very blatant in their endeavors to denigrate the work of God. They'd like to destroy God. And then there are those who have discovered the riches in Christ Jesus. They want to live a life that will please God. Appreciating the grace of God in Christ, they have responded with love and commitment, and they would gladly give their life for him if necessary. And you fall in one of the two categories. If you would like to be in the category of those who love God, God, when you're marking those that love you, count me, you know. If you'd like to be counted as one of those who love God, I would encourage you, go back to the prayer room. Cease your hostility, cease your rebellion, surrender your life to him. And you'll know what true riches are. The riches of God in Christ Jesus. May the Lord be with you, and may the Lord bless you. May he watch over and keep you in his love and draw you close to himself this week. that you might experience the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. And may he help you to comprehend a little more fully what are the exceeding riches of his love and grace towards you through Christ Jesus our Lord.